Joined this morning by the voice of the Indians, Tom Hamilton, talking about Indians baseball as well. But Tom, I think before we get into baseball, you were the one actually during the game on Wednesday that announced the passing of Joe Tate to the fans who were listening to that game. Talk a little bit about sort of what your relationship was with Joe, or what you knew of him through the time. I guess Herb Score is kind of the connection you guys had in common.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't know Joe extremely well. We had gotten together several times and had gone out to lunch, and you know, we had talked on other occasions. I certainly wasn't as close to Joe as say Tim Elkhorn is and was, and Terry Pluto, but certainly consider Joe a friend. And you know, he's just one of those guys that, as a young broadcaster, you looked up to a guy like Joe, and that's who you try to emulate, because he, to me, was the epitome of what a radio play-by-play man should be. And, you know, we both believed, I think, in a lot of the same things that we feel are critical for play-by-play broadcasters, and sometimes that gets lost today. But, you know, score, time, situation, all the basics that people that aren't at the game don't know, I think too many broadcasters take for granted and don't give it enough. And Joe and I firmly both believed in a lot of the same things. And so that kind of gave you a connection that way. But there's certainly not a broadcaster that I've ever had more respect for. And, you know, the thing about Joe is there wasn't a sport he couldn't do. And I think that's the key to any good play-by-play guy. Most of us that got into this business were doing every sport, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, whatever. And, you know, you're lucky enough if you get one of these jobs on the major league level or in the NBA or wherever it might be. So I just, you know, it's a huge loss for the city of Cleveland. And I know how many generations grew up with Joe Tate being the voice that they knew from both the Cavaliers and the Indians.
Right. And, you know, through the seasons of year, because baseball, basketball kind of are winter, summer, you guys, both of us kind of, you know, took the sports fan in Cleveland kind of just through the year with the different sports. We transitioned from one until the other. Joe Tate, we had some tapes from Joe from his early years, and he's called bicycle race, boxing matches. He was like a, you know, have microphone, will travel. I wonder, from your background, you probably did major, you know, the kind of four type of sports. Any other odd sports? Did you had a call or someone said, hey, you'd be good at doing that?
Well, I think my first play-by-play gig when I was in Watertown, Wisconsin, they had me go to the Jefferson County Fair, and we did a four-hour live show of the livestock being judged for blue ribbons, whether it was pigs or steers. And that might be the longest gig of my life, because after a while, one farm animal looks pretty much like the other. So, you know, those are the things that you remember from, you know, your days of starting out. And that's what I think helps, you know, forge your, I don't know, style, maybe, if nothing else, makes you try to become creative, makes you try to come up with ways to describe things a different way, not the same all the time. And, you know, at the time you were like, I think I made a bad career choice, but, you know, that was part of the journey.
Right. And, of course, it depends on, is with Joe, he talked about times, you know, whatever technical issues you had, you don't need to let the audience really know about it.
Nope.
And if you can plug a wire, get a microphone there, you could call something from high on top as long as you have some sort of vantage point.
Yep.
So it's kind of sort of that, you know, guerrilla kind of way of broadcasting, but you make the listener feel they're a part of it, and you just give them what they call, you know, tuned in for.
Yeah, you might be doing a game from a payphone. I can remember things like that happening when, you know, the technical aspect didn't go the way it was, and you were lucky that maybe the park you were at had a payphone nearby, and that's how you did the ball game. Didn't make the people waiting in line behind you real happy, but, you know, you had to do what you had to do.
So did you ever think you'd do a ball game from a television screen? This past year, something totally different, but you adjust, right?
Yeah, you know, it's part of our world right now, and fortunately we're going to have to keep doing the games from the road for the most part at least the first half of this season. Now, things could certainly change with the amount of people being vaccinated, and maybe they will loosen up some of the protocols and we'll be back, you know, on team planes and back in the clubhouse. But at least for the time being, it's pretty much the way it was a year ago when the Indians are on the road.
Well, let's talk, and as this spring training will continue, won't stop and then have a long delay like it was last year. Let's look at what are we going to expect when April 1st rolls around, when we see on the field?
And I think that's still to be determined. You know, we've got basically 3 weeks from today we open up. So these next 3 weeks are obviously going to determine who's on the ball club at the outset. I've been really encouraged by the amount of talent that's in camp. A lot of it, many of the fans are not familiar with because they've either come from other organizations or they have been in the Indians minor leagues. And I think last year not having a season of minor league baseball not only hurts the players, but it kind of hurts the fans in what they know about maybe some of the up-and-coming prospects. So the talent level is very impressive in camp. The position battles, and there are several, I think are going to, you know, go right down to that last week in camp. There will be some very intriguing decisions that has to, you know, come forward here in the near future as to who's on this team and who is not. So, and I again, because of the starting pitching, and I think the bullpen's got a chance. I mean, right now, the bullpen's got a chance, in my mind, to be dominant if certain guys are able to consistently throw strikes. And you never know if that's going to be the case until, you know, they're in the heat of the battle. But the arms are certainly there. We know what kind of starting rotation the Indians should have. You know, will this ball club score enough runs? You know, will some guys step forward? Because the offense needs to be better than it was a year ago, and we're saying that without Frankie Lindor and Carlos Santana. So there are some guys that really need to take that next step to make this a bona fide playoff team.
Tom, we've heard names like Bradley Zimmer and Bobby Bradley for a couple of years now. Do you think this is a key year for those guys?
I think more so for Zimmer than Bradley, because, you know, Bradley Zimmer is 28 years of age, and, you know, Bobby Bradley is 3-4 years younger than that. You know, with Bradley Zimmer, it's, you know, basically 3 years that it feels like he's lost, either due to injury or last year due to the pandemic. So that has really crippled his development. And he's a great athlete, as we saw when he was healthy in 2017. You know, can he put it all together? So I think it's, you know, I hate to use the term make or break, but I think it's close to that for Bradley Zimmer and his career with the Indians. I think there's a little more leeway yet there with Bobby Bradley. But, boy, he's at this point, Bobby Bradley has certainly been, of the people playing first base, he's been the most impressive. Now, again, does that translate come April 1st? And will he beat out Jake Bowers for that position? We'll have to see.
It's interesting. I've been watching some of the Zoom post conferences with Terry Francona, and there's always a little hesitancy when people ask, "How'd you like the way the guy played today?" And he kind of goes, "Well, yeah. I can't judge anything on 20 at bats, you know, if they were
right."
So it's very interesting how he's taking a measured approach to all these players.
Well, and that's, you know, the beauty of Tito. You know, again, you get fooled more in the game of baseball by what you see in spring training and a lot of times what you see in September when a team is out of it. And Tito knows that better than anyone. And he also knows that come April 1st, pitchers aren't working on certain things anymore. The only thing they're working on is getting you out. And so, you know, all of that plays into this equation of how do you make this decision? And who looks like what you're seeing in spring training is really the real thing.
He had a phrase the other day. He said, bonding and competing. These teams is trying to bond, yet they're competing with each other. So you have kind of those two levels to work with it. But I guess he's one that knows how to kind of balance that line, I guess.
Right. Well, yeah. I think, you know, that's why he's the best in the game, I feel.
I was looking at some of the prospects. Nolan Jones, this guy is 6'5". How is an infielder 6'5"? You know, usually when you think of infielders,
yeah,
you kind of have sort of...
He's a big kid, you know, and we've heard a lot about him for a number of years now. And so it's been you know, fun to put eyes on him and see him play some in these exhibition games. And, you know, he has more development. He's not ready to play at this level yet, but he certainly has a bright future.
And Brian Shaw is back with the team.
Looks good. Brian is still throwing in the mid-90s. I think Brian's got a really good chance of being on this ball club April 1st.
Yeah. What about the maturity of this team? Do you fear that they're not mature enough? I guess in age, they're in youth, they are. Maybe some of them.
No, I think there's a nice blend here. So, some of these young guys are going to have to grow up in a hurry. But, that you know, it's not like you have a team of all young players with no experience. You know, there's still plenty of experience on this ball club, with Eddie Rosario and Jose Ramirez and Roberto Perez and Cesar Hernandez. And, you know, you've got experience in that pitching staff. So, no, I don't think that'll be an issue.
How was Roberto Perez doing in spring training? And it's good to see the leadership role that he's been taking with this team.
Yeah, Roberto looks good. He's lost weight and, you know, he's proven he's a gold glove caliber catcher. And what the Indians need, though, is more offense from Roberto like they got from him 2 years ago.
Well, we look forward to your call throughout the season with Indians baseball and look for those ones without the cardboard people in the stands.
Yeah, so, that'll be fun. Yeah. We look forward to it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Tom. Have a good day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.